With you.
Wanted to again bring you greetings from the land of the free and the home of the brave, Scotland. But it is so good to be back here with you. I was asked to speak on Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 27th verse. And I wrote some just on the way over here this morning, so these are fresh, right out of the oven. No, the Holy Spirit had led me to some verses, and I just knew He was giving them to me, and praise the Lord, now I know how, because right here in Ephesians 5:27, we see a work that He does.
Amen.
And as Pastor said so many times this morning, Sunday school and in church, it's His work.
Amen.
It's not our church. He's building His church. So if you're able, please stand as we read here Ephesians 5:27. It says that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Thank you. You may be seated. We see just these couple of these preceding verses here in Ephesians 5:25. We see there it talks to us husbands about loving our wives, and here's the reason it gives. The example it gives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Amen.
I think the most widely known around the world, the most widely known verse is John 3:16.
Yes. Yeah.
And God so loved the world that He gave Himself for the world. He died for us. That's the past. But then it goes to the present there. In the 26, it says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And that's exactly how God does it.
Sir,
it's His word, it's His power, and He cleanses us by His Spirit. That's why it's so important. There, the very first song we sang, the second verse, it says, "Are you walking daily by the Savior's side?"
Amen.
And that makes all the difference. It really does. In the whole world, it makes all the difference to simply walk with God daily. What spurred my heart this morning on the way over here, as I was reading some scriptures, I saw how I have long believed there are two legs of faith. You know, you walk with your legs. This week, my wife showed me this funny little YouTube video. A guy was walking upstairs on his head. Hey, on his head. And I couldn't believe it when she said that. No, that's not even possible. But sure enough, he worked them legs and arms so that he was hopping up, and it was a long flight of stairs on his head. Well, that's not normal.
Yeah. Amen.
But you know, sometimes as Christians, we get in a thing like he mentioned this morning, doing it our way. This is neat. This is new. This is spectacular. And we're going to try this. And it's not normal.
Right.
It's normal to walk on your legs.
Amen.
And I believe there are two times the Lord Jesus Christ used the word great. Used to, in my past life, several years ago, I used to say, everything's great. Well, that's great. Somebody tell you something. Oh, that's great. And then I got to realizing when I came across some passages of Scripture that the Lord called something great. God is great.
Amen.
He's the one that's great.
Amen.
He really is. So I just stopped. Well, I didn't stop completely, but I really, I rarely use this word great. But two times in the Scripture, the Lord used the word great. And both times it was involving a Gentile, one of us.
Yeah.
He was talking to His disciples, and the Syrophoenician woman came to Him for her daughter's life.
Amen.
And He uses this word great. First of all, now she was a Gentile woman, so he, as a master in Jewish culture, he wasn't talking to this Gentile woman. He told His disciples, you tell her this, they told her that. And he said, tell her it's not fit to, it's not to give the children's bread to the dogs.
Right.
Now, most times nowadays, if you call somebody a dog, what's going to happen? Well, if he's a man, he's going to plant one on you. If it's a woman, she's going to get offended, and they're going to leave. The Lord didn't call her a dog. He referred to her by her Gentile term that she was familiar with. And the principle was, I can't give the Holy Scriptures that I was sent into this world to bring to the Jewish people so that they could evangelize the world And then you know what she did? She groveled.
Right.
She, in total humility, for the sake of her daughter's health,
yes,
groveled at the feet of the Savior and even said, "Yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the children's table." From the master's table.
Right.
Then he turned and he spoke to her.
Amen.
He said, "Oh, woman,
thank you, Lord.
Great is thy faith. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, called her faith great."
Amen.
Because of that principle of humility.
Yes.
The other time was the centurion, officer. He came to the Lord, and you know the story, and he tells the Lord about how he's a man of authority. He understands this principle of authority. He takes orders, and he gives orders, and those orders are obeyed. You know what? You know why there's so many policemen shot and killed in our nation this day? Because people have no respect for authority, and it boils down to that alone.
That's it.
People
right.
do not respect authority.
You're right, preacher.
Whether the officer was wrong or right, that's secondary. The authority principle is still in God's creation.
Yeah, right.
And when we oppose that authority, now, he said, I understood, and he said, you don't even need to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word. Why? Because I believe in the authority of God's word.
Amen.
And I believe this, in short, is the right and left leg of faith. Because God called it great. He turned to his disciples and he said, I haven't found this great a faith in all of Judea. And here's a centurion, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, has shown greater faith than all of Judea. And why is that? Because of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes control of the heart. And I didn't even really look at that clock when I started, and I should have. I'm sorry. But first of all, it starts with a renewal in the Spirit. It starts at salvation. Ephesians 4:22-24 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Lusts are simply anything, wanting anything that we should not have or is not our own. And the describing word there was deceitful. We're deceived into thinking. You know, even as Christians, we're deceived into thinking it's one way. And God says, but my thoughts are higher than your thought. It's the other way. The flesh, our main enemy, or the devil has deceived us into believing one thing. And it's totally something. It's not even about that. That's why it's so important. If we'll simply learn Bible principles, we can live by these principles. And these decisions are secondary because the authority is the Bible principle.
Right.
If we'll simply do that. But he said there, put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This morning I put on my shoes that I walked to the barn with. And I wasn't stepping on roses. You'll notice I didn't wear those shoes. I put off those old shoes. I left them there. I put on my new shoes. Why? Because I wanted to look my best in front of the Lord. I came here to worship the Lord with you all. And I praise the Lord for the blessings I got out of the morning service, I tell you. But it's simply partaking of the divine nature, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. There the Lord uses the word great. Again, his word is great. In fact, over there he said, I exalt my word above my name even.
Right.
And that's a little difficult for us to understand because names in the Old Testament had to do with that human being. That name was an attachment. It wasn't just a title. But exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We just partook of food and drink, didn't we, down there?
Amen.
And they say there's only one thing harder than preaching after a good meal, and that is listening to preaching after a good meal. But he said partaking of it. It's just the same as food. Drinking it into our soul every day. Partaking of the divine nature, he says, that divine nature, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We can escape it. We don't have to be deceived. God's given us the power to escape. That's in 2 Peter 1:4. Colossians 3:3-4 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. by no means is this just a makeover,
amen,
an improvement.
Amen.
At the conference down there near Savannah, I was staying with a couple in their home, and I was in there. I've had trouble with blood clots, and so I had to elevate my foot. And Brother White was over here, and Ms. White, she's over there, and they're watching this film about making over an old home and turning it into a brand new. And the new one didn't look anything like the old one, and that's how they made all that moolah out of that little deal.
Yeah.
But you know what it was? The old home was still there. They didn't raise it to the ground and build a new one. The old home was still there. You just couldn't see it. You know, that's what must happen in our Christian lives. It's still the old Daniel here, living in the flesh, but not forever, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But people don't need to see the old Daniel. They need to see the new man. The Lord,
amen,
Jesus Christ told us there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then he tells us there in Ephesians 2:10, last verse here that I want to give you, was, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus,
amen,
unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God looked down through before he even created the world, and he saw what I need to be doing today. He knew that.
Amen.
He knew that. And he created me for that.
Amen.
What God has created us for is just a tremendous, tremendous possibility that only he can make possible.
Amen.
Only God can do these things. We can't do them.
Amen.
It tells us that over there in John, the 6th chapter, verses around 63 to 65. It's all about him. He did it. He planned it all before ever was even created.
Amen.
And then when he blesses it, brings it to pass, he gets the glory. And that's all glory to him. Glory to,
amen,
God. All glory to him for eternity.
Amen. Hallelujah right there. Amen. Well, I tell you what, that's good preaching. How many of you are challenged to walk on those two legs of faith? Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. You can go ahead and stay in your seat, but we're going to sing a verse of Amazing Grace. And Brother Rob Alexander, if you want to go ahead and come and get ready, let's sing around.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Is that my bill?
Yes, sir. Amen.
What do you call it when a bunch of pigs run down a steep place and into the lake and then drown? Suicide.
Yeah.
That's not my sermon, though. I'm going to preach out the same text that we just heard, but I'm going to go a little bit further because I want to go to the preceding verses of 25, 26, and 27. Just get a little bit of context here. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'm going to go up to verse 25 again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God never asked a woman to love a man that didn't love her back, or never asked to submit to a man that didn't love her. And that's what a lot of it comes down to. You know, Christ loves us so much that we want to submit to him.
Yeah.
And that's, he was talking about the thing with authority. People today don't respect authority in any way, shape, or form anymore, and we're seeing more and more of that in this day. But God's love for us exists on so much of a higher plane that this, the word in, that I'm looking for, I guess, is agape. I've not really defined it yet. I've heard different preachers put it a different way, that's to agape or love somebody God's way is to just place a high value on, or even place it above yourself. That's agape love. And it's not about sex, by the way. For some of you young ladies out there, these boys that will tell you that they love you, but they want you to do something you shouldn't be doing until you're married, or don't listen to them. smack them in the head and walk away, because they're only interested in one thing and one thing only, and it's not what you want. That there's not love. It's not love at all. And you won't find this love in any of these so-called secular history or secular psychology books. Now, they're trying to take all the secular stuff today, the secular psychologists. They're trying to redefine everything, what love is, what love isn't, and everything's basically more. Everything is permissible in this day and age. You can just do what you want to do if it feels good, and there's no consequences. That's a bunch of a load of bull. Yeah. And again, it's about sacrificial love.
That's right.
As Christ sacrificed himself for the church. And the next part of it is in verse 26, is that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's one of my favorite verses, by the way. It says he cleansed it. That happened in the past when he died on the cross. For us today, it's all in retrospect. We know it happened. We accept it today. Calvary does not have to ever be repeated. It was taken care of once and for all. I've heard some of these preachers out there, and especially some of the more charismatic churches, saying we need another day of Pentecost. I said, well, that don't make any sense. We don't need another day of Pentecost, and more than we need another Golgotha.
Yeah,
that's been taken care of.
Yes, sir.
But I want to look at this one word. He sanctified it. Well, what's that word sanctified mean? Well, I heard a lot of people say you get sanctified when you're born again, and that's probably true. Part of it takes place then, but sanctification is something that's going to take place over a process of your natural Christian life. It's going to go from the time you're born again to the time you either die or you're raptured into heaven. But it goes on and on and on as a process we go through daily. It's mean daily being set apart. It's also another word. The holy is the same word. It's almost the same word. He says he's going to cleanse it with the working of water by the word, washing water by the word. How's this done? Well, partially it's done by prayer, this conscientious prayer every day, prayer soaked life, and this continuous study of the scripture. I want to go back how he compares it to like washing the water of the word. Well, what does water do? Well, it cleanses the filth away. It washes it away. It uses it for cleaning. And there's nothing in today, any product that you buy is for cleansing, that it doesn't have water in it. Water rehydrates the body. And that's it keeps you alive. That's what the Word of God does us. It keeps us alive. God's Word, it takes out the spots and removes the stains. And we're stained every day, so we need it done every day.
Amen.
And then I want to go back to Psalm 119. It says, wherewith will a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed therefore according to thy word. And that includes us old men too. You get clean by through the Bible. The Word of God really will. If you have your mind saturated with the Holy Word of God,
Amen.
It will have that effect of cleansing your mind. Because what you're reviewing every day, what you're looking at, what you're listening to, what you're reading,
Amen.
Whether it's the Bible or it's some filth that the world offers, that's what's going to be implanted in your mind.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to think.
Right.
If you're not constantly replacing that with the Word of God and shunning this other filth, that's what's going to happen.
That's a good preacher, brother.
And then Psalm 111 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. To hide it in your heart is something that's a little bit harder to do. But that just like you treasure in your heart. It has to be something that's in your heart. It can't just be up here. It has to make its way down to here.
Yes, sir.
So if you haven't got up there, it doesn't make any difference anyway. You can have all the knowledge you have in your head, but if you don't have it, if it's not become a part of your personality and your attitude, it's not going to do its work. I mean, it's not going to transform you.
Yeah.
And then the rest part, in verse 20, says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, I got to tell you, it took a lamb without spot or blemish to make a church without spot or blemish.
Amen.
Without him, without the lamb being without spot or blemish, we couldn't be that way.
That's right.
He was a sinless son of God. That's the only way we can be like him. That's the only way him being the bridegroom that we could be his bride.
Amen.
And here's another thing I keep hearing people talk about a lot. I'm hearing it today, but you hear a lot about a lot of preachers saying that the church is going to go through the tribulation. Well, that don't make any sense to me, because the Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, for one thing.
Right.
And have you ever heard of a husband making his wife go through a bunch of tribulation first before he'd marry her, before he'd take him into his bosom on their wedding day? Have you ever heard of that? Say, wife, you got to run the gauntlet first before I'll take you as my bride. Well, that's the same principle here. I mean, why would God make us go through all that trouble just so we can be presented to him on the wedding day? It doesn't make any sense. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's why we're going to be raptured out here before that takes place. And all that right there, that was the past and the present of the bride. But here's the future of the bride, and it's a beautiful and glorious one. Let's turn to Revelation 21:2 real quick, if you will. If I can get there. 21:2. Okay. And so I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I mean, I know I was talking about the New Jerusalem, but that's also a picture of the church, because that's where we're going to be living for all eternity.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of preachers say, that I've never seen an ugly bride. That might be a little bit debatable, but but in God's eyes, the bride is the most beautiful thing that there ever was. And in this case, we're going to have the groom will be even more beautiful than the bride. Can you imagine that? The groom being Christ, he's going to be even more beautiful. And give you a little bit of an Old Testament example of this bride and this groom thing and how it all fits in together. Y'all remember the kinsman redeemer between Boaz and Ruth? Remember how Boaz purchased Ruth's freedom? And then they married, became husband and wife. That's kind of an Old Testament picture of Christ and the church. And I really like that comparison there, because that right there, it just shows how the Bible, from cover to cover, from Old Testament to New Testament, just is a continuous flow of the same message. It doesn't change. It's the same message from cover to cover.
Hey.
And back in the Old Testament Bible time, well, not Old Testament, but actually the New Testament times, around the time of Israel, the Bible times, what's really worth thinking about, we're still in Bible times. They never really stopped. We're still in Bible times today. God's clock hasn't stopped. God's still working.
Amen.
But at least in that culture, when a man and woman were going to be married, they were betrothed for at least a year, which is the time period for preparation, for getting ready. And each one of them made a vow to stay pure that whole time until the consummation of that consummation day, which is the actual wedding day.
Yes,
when they had a great feast, and then once all that was consummated, they were husband and wife. And it wasn't just for a partial time, a little bit here, a little bit there. They didn't have no separations, and they didn't have no prenuptial agreements. Like you hear a lot of people are doing today, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's like you're anticipating you're going to get divorced. It doesn't make any sense. But this is the bridegroom and the bride and the bridegroom at that time, when they said, I do, it was forever.
Amen.
It was forever.
Amen.
And when it comes to us in Christ, us being his church, we're one. The Bible says, you know, husband and wife become one. They're one flesh. It's the same thing here. We're one with Christ, and we will be forever. And nothing's ever going to change that. There are no divorces. There are no separations. It's an eternal marriage that will last forever.
Amen.
And that's all I got. Sorry, that was more of a Sunday school type of lesson than I was preaching.
Amen. Preacher, man. There you go. Amen. Hallelujah right there. That helped me. We'll go ahead. We'll sing that second stanza right there. How about that? Amen. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen. Our next preacher needs no introduction. The Beast from the East himself, Brother Larry Martell. You get up here and you share what the Lord's put on your heart. God bless you, preacher. Take your time. Take your time, preacher.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord gave me this verse several weeks ago, and I just like when he does that, because it's always a blessing to see how the messages all work together, and just the Lord just, he never disappoints. Amen? The Lord's just awesome. He's just awesome. He really is. I love the Lord. Glad to be saved, and I'm glad to be his. Amen?
Amen?
But in Ephesians 5:27, this verse really just struck me as I was studying it, and it just really kind of thrilled me, because it kind of get like a twofer, you know, two for one deal here. It says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And we see here the principle of the husband and wife. We understand the even in this decayed, debauched, defiled society we live in today, it's still there that the husband does lead the wife and he's the head of the home. We still see the remnants of that and praise God for it because it's true. And he's responsible to do that, amen? And as Christ, as has been alluded to already by the dear brothers, he is the husband and we are the bride. And praise God for being selected, amen, to look forward to that wonderful wedding day coming up ahead, Lord. And it's just going to be an awesome day, amen. But he talks about here, what really just thrilled me was he's going to present it to himself. And it may be different. I'm not, you know, fully aware of all the different things they do in the Jewish society type things, but in every wedding I've ever been a part of or done or whatever you want to call it, the dad always presents the bride, right? Yeah. And it says here that he might present it to himself, the glorious church. That's a beautiful truth, and it's a beautiful proof text of the deity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, sir.
That just really thrilled me to give me goosebumps when I got that. Amen. And I just praise the Lord for that because the Bible's just full of stuff like that, man. And the Holy Spirit that wrote this, I mean, there is no way you'll ever convince me that this is on par with anything else on the planet. Amen. It's impossible. I mean, I've seen so much stuff from this Word of God in my life. I've seen it change me and just bring my family and bring it along and I've just seen people change. And it's a fascinating treasure is what it is, but that really thrilled me when it says that there that he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church. Amen. That's just awesome. I mean, he's our Savior. He's our Creator. I mean, he's God.
Amen.
You know, God didn't send the best that he could find to die on the cross of Calvary. He died.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, he didn't just get Michael or Gabriel or he came.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we won't, you know, give him the time of day half the time, and that's too bad. But I just love the Lord that he's so merciful to do that for us. And I think that we're included in this, and it's a glorious church. He's going to present to himself a glorious church, not because of us, but because of what he's going to do through us, washing us by the water of the Word, preaching God's Word. I thank God we have the Word of God in this church. I thank God it's preached, it's taught. I thank God we sing the hymns that contain the Word of God. I mean, there's hymns in there you could take and just put on the pulpit and preach out of. And rightfully so, amen. I thank God that God has the required catalyst to do the cleaning that needs to be done. Amen. He's got the right book in this church that we're a part of, and praise the Lord for it. And but he's going to wash it by the water of the Word with the preaching, and he's going to make us into a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I mean, when you're looking for stuff, and we were talking about this the other day. He said when you buy something on eBay, everybody takes a lot of pictures. They want to show every different scratch or nick or dent, or so you don't have any kind of complaints, and you send it back to them. And he was talking about something, and it was just one vague picture, and he said that he was hooked on it, hook, line, and sticker, and he bought it anyway, and God worked it all out. But anyway, you know, God is not talking about here our physical realm. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
He's not talking about our physical realm in this verse.
Preach,
he's not talking about the fact that we're all different shapes and sizes here. Amen. Some of us got more hair than others, and some of us have to wear glasses, and all these different things going on for us here. But that's not what he's talking about. Amen? Brother mentioned about having the Word of God from here into your heart. You know, where does the Word of God say that God dwells in a believer? Is it in his head? It's in his... You can say it. It's okay. It's his heart. Amen? God is interested what's on the inside.
That's right.
God is interested, and you know what? He can see what's on the inside. You and I can't. But God, that's His domain. That's His delight. That's His jurisdiction. And that's where it's going to be without spot. That's where it's going to be a glorious church. That's where it's going to be without wrinkle or any such thing. And that's where it's going to be holy and without blemish on the inside.
Amen.
On the outside, we have scars. We're going to have maladies. We're going to have situations. We're going to have whatever life throws at us and the remnants thereof. However, spiritually speaking, as a church of God, on the inside where He dwells, His domain, what He's focused on, the motivating factor of why you're sitting in that pew right now, that's what God is concerned about. The inside here. And that's what He's looking at here. He's going to make the inside clean and pleasable to Him. Why is He not going to worry about the outside? Because this outside ain't going to make it to heaven. We get a new one. Woo! Amen. We get a new one. Amen. And no pink slip to go with it. Amen. It's just all ours, paid for, and hallelujah. And it's going to last forever. Amen. Ain't going to get wore out. No backaches. No glasses.
Hallelujah.
No more cotton picking headaches or nothing, man. Amen. I mean, it's just going to be good. You're going to be like when you drive by the school and you see at recess the kids just running around with all that energy. Just makes you sick. And I remember when I was young, an old guy said to me one time, he says, you know, youth is wasted on the young. And I thought he was crazy. I don't think that anymore. I know what he said now. But we're going to be like those little kids in first or second grade having recess time. That's us in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Energy to burn. I mean, nothing to be concerned about. I mean, just the Lord. And then there's going to be the Lord. And then after that, there'll be the Lord. I mean, what is there that's going to be awesome? Amen.
Amen.
But He is going to do that. He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church,
right.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Why and how? Through this blessed word right here, through the Spirit of God that indwells our heart,
Amen.
Gave us this word. And why? So He would be pleased. Amen. When I got married, I was tickled to death to have her. Amen. And I still am. She's awesome. She's my girlfriend. Amen. And listen, He's going to be tickled to death to have us.
Hallelujah.
Now, the brother mentioned, we're going to get the whole lot better side of the deal on our end.
Yeah.
He's a whole lot better than we are. He's going to be a whole lot better looking than we are. But you know what? He's looking on the inside.
Amen.
So what I really wanted to hit home is fortify, strengthen, nurture, care about your inside.
Amen.
I mean, be decent with the outside. I mean, don't be, you know, offensive, but care more about your inside. Take a bath every day with this.
Amen.
Brush your spiritual teeth every day with this. Wash your spiritual hair every day with this. Wash your spiritual hands every day with this. If you took a bath or washed up 3 times a week, you would be offensive to a lot of people. Amen. And to yourself, too, if you had a nose. But, I mean, listen, we expect that to be okay, spiritually speaking, and it's not. There was a time when only time you'd see a Bible is when you came to church. But we ain't in that time.
Amen.
Y'all got one.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, preacher.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's take a survey. Who likes the cowbell? All right, amen. Hey, you guys did it. Y'all raised your hands, so that means next time we're going to have it back. You did it to yourselves, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful how the Spirit of God works on people's hearts, and you can read the same scripture, and you can go through a different set of eyes, and it's perceived, not necessarily it's perceived different ways, but God gives you different things from it. Amen. Thank the Lord for our preachers today and the scripture that was preached. And I don't know about you, but I was challenged, you know, because I tell you the way, when Brother Irvin got up there and preached, when Brother Rob got up there and preached, and when Brother Larry got up there and preached, God kind of dealt with me the same way through the scripture as we were reading that He may present it to Himself. He's speaking to the bride, the church, you know, holy, without blemish, you know, spotless, you know. Where does that all start? Where does that all start? It starts with me. Where does it start for you? It starts with you. Amen?
Amen?
It all starts on the inside. It all starts on a personal level. And it requires of us a decision to follow after God and to realize that this is a holy, righteous calling that God has placed on our lives, that we might be that church, that we might be His body. Amen? We're going to sing the third stanza. We're going to move into the third stanza of that song. We're going to sing it together. And I'll invite Miss Ruthie to play the piano for us as we sing. But I want you to just think of that as we sing together and as we finish singing. She's going to continue playing the piano. And if God's dealing with your heart and He's saying, I'm telling you, it'd be good for us to get on the altar and just pray. God, use me. God, clean me up. God, help me to be of some use to you in your church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amazing Grace. If you need the page number, it's 244. We're going to start on that third stand to pick up where we left off. Amen.